dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the theme song to Coach. Joe just asked in the break.
Really?
What is the sitcom Coach?
This isn't like the fight song for like NC State or something?
Iowa State Band is playing it.
Oh, there you go.
I might have just used a fight song that I don't know, but this is the theme song to Coach.
Coach?
He coached Minnesota State, Craig T. Nelson, yeah. I learned just now that there were 200 episodes of Coach.
200 episodes?
Yeah.
How many seasons is that?
Nine.
Nine seasons?
Nine seasons. Yep.
This show that the Happy Gilmore alligator
also
destroyed?
Yes. The Happy Gilmore alligator died this week and had to retire because it tore up the set of Coach.
Coach.
So, yeah. Which I guess...
I don't think I've ever even heard of this series.
You probably haven't. It's, he coached Minnesota State and...
Okay. It aired from 89 to 97.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, I recognize some of the actors in it.
Sure.
Craig Nelson. Maybe it's just Craig Nelson, actually.
He might be the only one you recognize.
Might be the only one, yeah.
Yeah. Luther and Dauber, his defensive coordinator and special teams coach. Yeah. That was a show. I was looking up the ratings just to see, you know, by comparison, what kind of ratings did it pull.
Anyway, uh-huh.
It's not that important. We're off on a, you know.
The Coach theme song is not a college fight song. While the show did use a recording of a real college marching band, the Iowa State Marching Band, for its theme, the song was not specific. Was specifically written for the show.
There you go. Okay, good. Good morning. It's schedule release day. We get the full Bills schedule today. Here's recapping where we've been so far today. There's a leak that it's Bucks and Rams on Thanksgiving night.
Yep.
So no Bills Thanksgiving, period. Because they're not going to play Detroit or Dallas, and they're not going to play Thanksgiving night. Christmas would still be there. There's the Saturday after Christmas, which is the holiday Peacock exclusive window.
Yep.
Nobody really gets scheduled into that game because that will be picked by Peacock. So who knows if there's a standalone game. Once you get to Saturday, did I see the NFL is going to go head-to-head with college football?
Yeah, the Saturday of the playoff, I don't remember which round it is, but of the college
quarterfinals, because I think it's a triple header.
Yeah.
And that's
when
Fox is going to run their Bears, Commanders, Eagles, Packers, or whatever. Eagles, Packers, Bears, Commander, Eagles, Bears. Who cares? Fox is bothering me. Fox is annoying me.
Yeah.
Then again, Sal had a good point. What does Fox have to announce? They don't have any primetime. It's just, here are our games.
I think they should have announced week one.
Yes, I think that's probably right.
Week 13 is like, okay. Yeah, week one. Week one to me would have been the obvious choice to unveil if you were Fox, but.
There's also.
Maybe their week one 4 o'clock game isn't that juicy.
That could be right.
If their week one game is the Bears and the Browns, you know, like, oh, guys, Cleveland and Chicago. Like, you don't really want to.
Yeah.
Party with that as your kick off to the season, whatever show they would have been announcing it on.
Quick follow up on Coach Nikki tweets in one of the last episodes, he was coaching an expansion NFL team, the Orlando Breakers, against Buffalo in the playoffs at a Buffalo restaurant, sent tainted wings to the team, which caused food poisoning.
What?
All right.
Wait, a Buffalo bar. Basically poisoned the
Orlando Breakers team.
The Orlando Breakers?
Yeah, I guess so. He got the call up from Minnesota State to coach the Orlando Breakers.
All right.
Yeah. I got poisoned by a North American Hockey League team.
Really? Here we go.
My whole team.
The whole
whole team. Same situation.
Is this... What level of proof is there?
They all got sick.
What level of confidence?
All of us.
They
got
all
sick.
Got sick.
Okay, but does that have to be intentional or just they made a bad batch?
There's some wiggle room. I wouldn't say we were gonna go out there and try and make them prove it in court.
Does the verb poisoned have to imply intentional?
Yeah.
You can't accidentally poison somebody?
Sure. Yeah.
Food poisoning. I mean, that is food poisoning. Right.
Yeah,
no one ever intentionally gives you food poisoning. Although,
well, in this case, I think the case is that maybe they did.
Didn't Utah do that to Michael Jordan, maybe also? Yeah. At least he'd have you believe that.
Right.
But anyways.
Yeah, we were in Corpus Christi. I was with New Mexico. We had our 15-hour bus ride down to Corpus Christi, and we played our first game and got, you know, in these junior leagues in America that aren't, you know, exactly well-funded all the time, you get a lot of sort of team meals that maybe aren't maybe the best.
All right. Uh-huh.
And so we all sat, you know, we win our first game. We're all feeling good, you know, post-game meal. And we got back to the hotel. Everybody was fine. About 3 a.m, I wake up, you know, you're paired up with somebody, you got a roommate. My goalie partner, Benny Halaz from Hungary, he's awesome. He's playing, I think he's at UMass Lowell now. Shout out. Got really sick, started throwing up everywhere. I was like, uh-oh. I got to play tomorrow again now, was my first thought. Like, I'd played the Friday night. Normally, you go Friday, I play. Saturday, Benny plays. That was how we were running it back then. And Benny gets sick. He's sick for like 30 minutes, and then I'm like, oh, I don't feel great. Mm. I get sick.
We're both in
the bathroom, and then we hear through the walls.
Oh, wow.
We're sitting in our next room. Our captain and assistant captain are throwing up
everywhere. What was the meal?
It was we couldn't tell which specific part it was, but we had a salad, and we had spaghetti and meatballs.
All right, I mean, you know.
There was some weird lettuce.
There's not.
And the meatballs were not good. It's between those two.
Right. There's not a lot there, though, that you could really.
I mean, lettuce gets recalled. Lettuce is a target, I think.
Okay. I was a lettuce is at fault proponent.
Gotcha.
You know, on the 15-hour bus ride back with.
By the way, what a bus ride that would have been with a
dude. Black trash bags.
I don't want to know.
I can't even say this on the radio.
People are eating breakfast.
It was not good.
Yeah.
By the way, one more thing before we move on back to like football stuff here, because I think I have 7 people on Twitter
that are telling you
need me to know.
Yes, that Dauber on Coach stars before they were stars.
Patrick Starr?
Yeah. From SpongeBob. That's Dauber.
He does other things?
Yeah.
Does he like sound like Patrick Starr in the show?
Yes.
That's like his normal voice?
Yes, he's a special teams
coordinator. I could never watch the show. I could never
take it. He's also one of the dads in How I Met Your Mother.
Okay. I could never take it seriously. I could never take that show seriously in my life because I would just laugh every time I heard his voice because that's Patrick Starr coaching a football team.
Yeah.
I could never watch it now. Not that I was really planning on.
You were about to get the DVD box set of Coach.
Yeah, no.
803-0550, your phone number.
By the way, I don't know when they'll do it. It could honestly be how long is this show? It's probably like a 3-hour show. But
CBS announcing something?
CBS Mornings is going to announce a CBS game.
Is it not going to be Bills Chiefs?
No, it's going to be the Eagles, of course.
Oh, my God.
I'd forgotten
for a brief moment of the eagling of America here.
Yeah. So 7 to 9. I mean, it could be in the next 10 minutes or it could be in an hour and a half. I'm not sure. But
okay.
At some point, we're going to get a CBS game here.
How is it not Bills Chiefs? That's the game of the year. Every year.
And they always get it because
it could be Bills Chiefs, it could be Bills Ravens, it could be Ravens Chiefs.
As Mike North pointed out in the podcast with Sal, the most watched window, the most watched game of every week is almost always the 4:25 game.
Uh-huh.
That is the window. So even though it's not prime time, that's why you've seen Bills and Chiefs on at 4:25. So yeah, I mean, we don't have a Bills game yet. And honestly, they only have but by NFL standards, like only 2 Chief games being announced so far.
Not even announced,
because I don't think the Brazil game is official.
No, that's right. They've not announced it.
So there's one official Chief game that's been announced.
It's the only international game that did not get announced with the other international, right?
Right. Which is a little weird.
Yeah, I saw graphics without that one announced.
Yeah, it said TBD. I think it would be announced today.
Right.
So
that's Chargers-Chiefs.
So, okay. That's a good favorite for this, Bills and Chiefs getting announced.
So we'll keep you up on that. Netflix, I'm waiting for a tweet, right? Netflix will just tweet it.
Yes.
That, hey, we've got this on Christmas Day. That's expected to come today as well. So, schedule release. It is brought to you by Window Nation. So, we'll keep you updated on all of the schedule happenings. And there's a lot of buzz that Bills and Bengals to open the season on Sunday Night Football. All right. Visit WindowNation.com. Coverage of the NFL schedule release brought to you by Window Nation. Tomorrow, Howard's coming in to pick the Bills. First edition.
He is going to pick
14-3.
I was going to say 15-2. What's he going to pick for them to lose?
He'll pick them
you,
to...
You pick the pick... Predict Howard picks losses. What are the losses going to be?
He'll give them a goofy loss, and he'll give them losses to the Eagles and...
Baltimore?
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
That's just my guess.
So the three will be Cincinnati, Philly, and then he'll have them losing to, like, what, New England on the road or something?
Yeah. This is when schedule talk goes real far. We're not just talking schedule. We're talking how Howard will predict the schedule... Once it comes out.
Uh-huh.
And why not?
There's a leak of a Thursday night game in week 8 between the Vikings and the Chargers, apparently.
All right. Finding out the entire Vikings schedule before one Bills game, too.
I know. That's four Vikings games?
I got the full Vikings schedule and the full Eagles schedule.
Yeah.
Making us wait.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One thing, so Marcus Mosier on the show today, on the afternoon show today, 4 o'clock, he had a piece up at BuffaloLowdown.com. He writes a bunch of different places, covers, you know, as you mentioned, the Falcons and the Cowboys and just an NFL kind of guy. He wrote that he believes Keon Coleman could be one of the most important players in the NFL this year,
mm-hmm.
saying that if he blossoms, the Bills won't be stopped. Like, who would stop them if he becomes what he can? And I think it depends how high he thinks he could go.
Yeah.
But Coleman or Kincaid, didn't we put up a Twitter poll about this? Who do you think is more important to the Bills to hit their ceiling, Coleman or Kincaid? And I think we did put up a Twitter poll, like, last week.
Was it who's more important, though, or who's more likely that we did?
I don't remember. I think it was if you could pick one.
Okay.
And people might have picked Kincaid. You know, as we look back on their weapons and everything that they are, Coleman was not picked the same way that Kincaid was. They're not that far apart in picks. And maybe it's just the way that they were sold. But
and, well, they went up. Oh, wait, no. Did they go up for Kincaid?
They went up for Kincaid.
They went up a short trade, a small trade for Kincaid, and they went down
for twice for Coleman. Yeah. And Shakir, of course, has grown into what he is. I almost want to use a phrase for Kincaid. You let me know if this is fair. That, because I know we live in the everybody eats era, but the idea that that Kincaid takes the next step, I'm going to use a two-word phrase. How do I want to use it? Crown jewel.
Mm-hmm.
Should Bills fans want Dalton Kincaid to become the crown jewel of their offense? I mean, the quarterback is the quarterback. But when Bean goes on McAfee and talks about Brady with Gronk or Mahomes with Kelsey.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all-time greats. And
yeah,
I don't even need you to shoot for all-time great. Would it be fair to say that what the Bills would like to see happen, yes, Josh spread the ball, the offense be efficient, everything, everybody eats, score 30 points, who cares? But don't they want Kincaid to be that? He was drafted for that.
He was.
Move up, matchup nightmare, allows us to do these things. He can, you know, think of him like a wide receiver. Not saying that in a snarky way. Just what they envisioned for him was obviously a long-term idea that can become a dominating force in a game that can turn the scales for them.
Maybe even in the light of Bean, when he did his sit-down with Tyler Dunn a couple weeks ago, he spoke a lot about that Panther team that went to the Super Bowl. And because they were talking about wide receiver and that Panther team that went to the Super Bowl is being pointed out, like they didn't really have any studs on it. And he used that as a frame of reference, like, okay, this is okay. That you can win this way, that we almost won this way in Carolina when it was Ted Ginn and Philly Brown, like just no Devin Funchess, old Jericho Cotchery, just nothing. At the position, almost at all. But what did that team have? Not one of the all-time greats, But who was that team's leading receiver?
Greg Olsen.
Greg Olsen was a 1,000-yard tight end in that offense. And he was not, again, not Gronk. He was not Travis Kelce, but he was their top passing option. And that might be what the GM is looking at and he's using as confirmation as, hey, this can work. The team that is beating us year after year does this way. And yeah, they have maybe the best ever, but the team that I learned on and come from that made it that deep, this is what we had.
He had 3 1,000-yard seasons.
Olsen?
Yeah. And it came in a stretch of 5 consecutive years of more than 100 targets. 104, 111, 123, 124, 129.
That's a lot.
That is a lot of targets for a tight end. That would lead this team in targets.
For sure. So, can Kincaid even meet that bar?
Olsen.
Because that is not like all-time great.
That's a really good tight end.
A really good tight end for a really long time that was a good stretch for him.
Right, you're talking about him being basically like Josh has a right-hand man. When there's a graphic on the screen, it's Allen and Kincaid in that scenario.
Right. Because when I think of Olsen and like him with Newton, I don't think of stretching the field and like he's running by people. Like I think of, that was his dude. Like 3rd and 6, you need a play to get 9. That's where he's going with the football. He trusts that guy to just get a little bit of room, and they were symbiotic, those two. And that is the one area where Allen and Kincaid are not that, right? With a tight end, is this not true? Gronk maybe is a little different because he was just a physical beast. He's a polar bear running routes out there. But like Kelce and Mahomes is this, and maybe Newton and Olsen is a version of this, and there are other tight end examples, I'm sure, that because you're a tight end and you're not running a 4-3, you know, like your separation that you get is probably never going to be, it's going to be more about mental process and chemistry with you and the quarterback than it is going to be about, oh, these corners just can't hang with you.
Right, seeing the defense the same way that the quarterback sees it.
Like, there might take an unbelievable amount of chemistry between the quarterback and the tight end to make that relationship as good as even like a Cam Newton and a Greg Olsen was. And for Allen Kincaid, it was the opposite last year. They were not on the same page at all. Total misses all the time. And maybe that's just Allen missing on throws. But that to me is the element of those two that needs to improve. It's not even as much, Marino talked about this, Joe Marino, who we'll have on later, that Kincaid was getting open at times a lot. It's just the quarterback was missing him. So for Bean, that comes down to Josh. Like, you want him to be the crown. If you want him to be the crown jewel of your offense, you need the quarterback to start hitting him and to start using him more often.
Yeah. Whether it's Kincaid or Coleman or, you know, Shakir.
I mean, for me, though, it would be Coleman.
Who you'd want to see break out the
100%.
Most.
100%. Like, if Kincaid broke out, I do think it would be valuable, very valuable to this offense, and you can win that way. But if Coleman broke out,
if Coleman became a top 15 receiver in the league, the Bills would be monsters.
With the type of player he is too, with the jump balls, and I mean, I was reading Ben Solak the other day. Actually, I think Marcus Mosher had him quoted in here. Basically, that Coleman, like, one of the most exciting things about his profile going forward is his ability with the ball in his hands. That you get him the ball in space, and he's got wiggle, and he's got ability to break away from people. Like, he can be a good receiver when it comes to yards after catch. But he wasn't really asked to do that very much in his rookie season. So that's a question, too. But for me, Coleman would be the answer. If Coleman broke out and became a top 15 receiver in the NFL, that's the element of their offense they didn't have last year.
Yeah, someone they can trust outside.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I've got others that can do some of the job that Kincaid does. So Coleman, I feel like, you know, he's kind of it. In terms of that boundary, you know, can you do more down the field? Can you run all the routes, route tree stuff? Like, if he can figure out a way to become good at all of that, you know, Shakir's a great player, but is a little bit limited. And Samuel has been a good player in the past, but he's a little bit limited as a skill set. So I would answer Coleman.
803-0550. So an update on CBS. They just teased the schedule announcement.
Oh, they did?
They did. I don't know if it's happening in the next minute, but you tell me what to do with this. They showed two figures when saying, coming up, NFL schedule news.
Okay.
One was Bill Cowher. He's, of course, on the halftime show. That doesn't have to be the Steelers, but it very well could be a Steelers announcement.
Mm-hmm.
And then they showed Lamar.
They showed Lamar Jackson?
They showed a picture of Lamar throwing the football and went to break. You want to dig down into this? They either, A, hey, grab a quarterback, grab a picture, go to break. Or we're going to announce a Ravens game, and Bill Cowher, it's going to be the Ravens-Steelers. It's going to be, hold on for this one, Bills-Ravens. That's the meaning of the last two MVPs.
Right.
And that's, I don't know that elevates above
Bills. And you wouldn't
want
to put Allen and Jackson because you kind of be giving away just, I think you'd be giving away.
Lamar, it could be Ravens-Chiefs, it could be Ravens-Bills, but.
Wouldn't it be odd to put Lamar in the picture, though, and not have it not any?
I think that's right.
So it's going to be we think it's going to be the Ravens?
Ravens?
Ravens more so than I would think it's the Steelers.
Yeah.
Because Cowher's on CBS. Cowher could announce anything.
Right. That's the point. It's like they would have to make a point. Cowher wasn't a picture. Cowher was, he's part of the announcement. They showed it like.
Okay. Like he's there.
I believe probably. It was a cutaway to a screen where he's sitting in front of a camera ready to talk about whatever game it is.
Gotcha.
So stay tuned. I mean, that might come up in the next 20 minutes, 30 minutes. 803-0550, Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast coming up at 8 o'clock. He had an episode schedule wish list, how the schedule can kind of affect how the Bills play. We'll get to that and ask his thoughts on, you know, a couple different things we're kicking around here. And at 8:30, an Islanders guest, Lou Lamoriello's name in the news, whether he's actually in town or not, or the Sabres can make something happen there if they are indeed interested, as has been reported by a couple different outlets. We'll keep tracking that as well. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. When we return, a clip of some incredible overreaction to the Dallas Mavericks winning the lottery.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.